With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
We don't always swear, but when we do, it's on podcasts. Please listen responsibly.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter 4 of Melting Stones.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's dig in.
All right, tell us what happens in chapter 4, Goodwin.
Chapter 4. The whole group is getting to the village, and then they get there. And everyone's being greeted. Evie uses Luvo to listen in on the conversation, and everyone's being real nice to Fusspot and what the fuck? I forgot her name.
Rosalind?
Yeah. But Evie, you know, doesn't feel like that is... she feels that it always starts that way whenever they go somewhere, but eventually it starts going south. It doesn't here, not yet, but she's expecting it. They take Evie up to her room. She starts getting settled in. Rosethorn stuff is already there. And then she starts talking to Jayet and Oswin. And then she starts explaining to them kind of Luvo's background and talking to him. And they're all excited. You know, it's not every day you get to meet, you know, a talking rock and a rock mage. Then eventually Azazel comes in and starts berating the boys for talking to Evie and not letting her get ready and, like, dressed and get food in her, which makes sense since they've been traveling all day. They kind of back down and feel bad, but they take responsibility, and eventually they go down to eat. Lots of good food. People talking. Azazel is keeping people away from Rosethorn and Fusspot for now. And at the end, Evie starts feeling some tremors in her tea and soup. And it sounds like Luvo is a little concerned as well.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. So tell me all about it.
I mean, right in the beginning when Evie's talking with Luvo, talking about gratitude and how... Again, kind of reiterating what I just said, that eventually people will start taking advantage of temple dedicates when they show up. They're always, oh, thank you for being here. It's such an honor. Thank you for helping us. And then that eventually starts turning into requiring them to start doing stuff and forcing them to. And, you know, obviously Evie is a little biased because she's had some bad experiences in the past. It kind of strikes a nerve with me personally, because I've kind of been in that situation where trying to help somebody, and you know, it they start asking more and more without giving anything back. So it that just kind of resonated with me. I also liked her description of Moharan, this beetle spit village next to its chicken piddle lake on its donkey dung island. Just what a combo. When Luvo was talking to Jayat, he's talking about the people in the village and how they're different and how they won't take advantage of the dedicates. And that he tells Luvo, like, Evie will see that all humans aren't bad. Isn't that right, Master Luvo? And Luvo's like, I actually don't know that many humans. That the ones that he has encountered until today have been of a mixed kind. The description that he could always say something bad so politely, it almost sounded good.
I also like when he asks that, the line that immediately follows is, Luvo was as silent as clay.
It's pretty quiet.
Yeah, and it's just like, ooh, ouch.
Yeah, he just like stares like, bruh, don't put words in my mouth.
Yeah, you're barking up the wrong tree. I've seen some shit and I'm a rock. Man, then Evie after that saying, we were in a war. It sours you kind of. Yeah, maybe not the best impression for Luvo of humanity. Jayat getting Evie's saddlebags, lifting them and saying, what do you have in here, rocks? And she just grins. Because, yeah, it's...
Why, yes.
Yes, actually.
Literally just rocks. Luvo, after talking to Azaze, she says, I wasn't told of a talking rock. And Luvo responds, I prefer to be known as Luvo, though it is not my complete name. Talking rock is unflattering at best.
So yes, if we referred to him as a baby gummy bear, he would not be pleased.
No.
Probably not. And he'd probably be confused with what a gummy bear is. We'd have to show him the gummy bear song.
He'd be even more like, that's offensive.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
That's racist.
My first one is when they're first getting there and Evie's listening in on the conversations. She tells Luvo, look at them. They swim around Rose, Thorn, and Murtai like ants at a feast. They do everything but wag their tails. And Luvo's like, ants do not have tails, Ebu Meme.
I also wrote that down.
So silly.
I don't know if I'm reading too much into that, but the way I hear the delivery of him saying Ebu Meme after like just these facts, like clearly she's, you know, making a reference, and Luvo's just like, ants don't have tails, Ebu Meme. Like, it's just so funny to me. It's like, we know, I think he knows that she knows, but he still says it, and it's funny every time.
Well, it's like what she says in the earlier chapter about the hearts of mountains apparently never get tired of telling the same jokes.
Yeah. My next one is when Jayat asks Evie about her life. Evie's like, I'm going to go clean my face. Luvo, you take over. You know the story. Go ahead and tell the story. Evie had him in the sling, and she just put the sling on the bed. Jayat is sitting beside him on the bed, looking down at him, watching Luvo as if Luvo was the village storyteller. So I'm just imagining this little rock thing peeking out of a sling and this eye just staring at him like, tell me everything. It's so funny to me. It's a funny visual.
Makes me think of like reverse Benjamin Button's disease or something. Like it's like a baby, but it's got all this knowledge.
Yeah. My next one is, I like the burn against Juba Huba. She says the stone mage in Chamar was a fungus on legs.
Fungus? And that's an insult to fungus.
Damn.
Well, he doesn't like plants. They kill, they're rock killers. So it's
fungus getting... isn't a plant.
It's a mycelium. Come on.
Yeah, they're not plants.
Listen, at least fungus do something important. Juba Huba does not.
No. Yeah, Again, it's an insult to fungus.
My next one is when Luvo is talking about Oswin, and he says, "What kind of man is it who is more valuable than Majin?" I really like that one. My next one is, I like the description of, what is her name?
Azaze.
Azaze. She was queenly tall. She looked even taller than her. She looked even taller with her henna red hair pinned in a knot on top of her head. Her dress was plain brown cotton with yellow and orange embroideries under a sleeveless yellow robe. Still, the emperor didn't look so regal in all his silk. Burn to the emperor. This woman doesn't even have to try, and she looks queenly in emperor and silks, and they're like, ah, whatever. You look like a loser.
He must be either very ugly, or she's just very, very queenly. Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me of Shrek, Lord Farquaad. He tries to be so kingly.
Honestly, I have met a woman like this back before Poetry Slam Inc. was defunct. There was this really amazing poet who was an important part of it named Suzy Q. Watching her MC Poetry Slams, she walked out on stage and just owned the stage just by walking out. And it was just like, I command everyone. Queenly is the best way to describe that. So I kind of picture Azaze similar to Suzy Q.
Jayat says that Briar sounds like a paragon. Evie's like, no, he is not. He likes pretty girls and picking locks and making jokes and playing with knives. And he's a realist, not a paragon.
What a cool guy.
Right? God. I marked some food stuff for Goodwin. The chicken stew.
I also marked the food stuff.
The chicken
ginger
stew.
Ginger and cinnamon.
And then lentils cooked with noodles and pastries stuffed with eggplants.
I didn't mark that, but I marked the part where she describes Jayat's laugh as sounding like warm honey. Because
I had also marked that.
We had talked earlier about how Evie is using all these food metaphors. I'm not his butter. He doesn't have to churn me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is no bread and salt of mine. And yeah. So I was just like, I never noticed it before, but I'm like, ah, food metaphors.
You know what? Normally reading something like that would make me think that there's like maybe some sort of attraction there, but this being Evie and knowing food, I don't think it is. But I think if I would have read that in any other book, I would have been it sounds kind of like a compliment.
Similar to Jayat, I think it's interesting that Evie seems more upset about specifically being sold in Shamir than just about being sold. She's like, okay, I understand that my parents had to sell me into slavery, but why couldn't they have sold me into slavery in Yanjing?
It makes me think of the one meme that floats around. You can excuse racism?
Just another example of her realist kind of coming out and being like,
yeah.
The least you could have done is sold me to someone that could talk to me. Come on.
Yeah. It also reminds me of slavery in the U.S. because there was a lot of stuff done to prevent slaves from learning English so that they couldn't communicate. Oswin fixes things. Everyone has magic. This is definitely Oswin's magic, even if he is not magical. And it makes a lot of sense why they say, like, he's possibly more valuable than a mage. He's also adopted a whole bunch of kids.
Like, he's just a guy.
He's just a guy who does really great things for people.
Yeah.
I want to be Oswin when I grow up.
The description of him reminded me of what Ben could have been.
Yes.
I know with the description of Ben, he was learning from a mage everything that he could to be able to help people. And then Oswin also is learning everything he can from mages. Ben did use his to help people, but then he ended up getting twisted and killing people. I don't see that happening with Oswin. I don't want to see that with Oswin, but that's how it is. But he's fucking crazy.
Goodwin, I want to hear your conspicuary theory.
That's racist. I did spell conspicuary, so just for people that the pod, yeah, people listening will not read. I did that.
Goodwin typed conspiracy theory in the chat, and I did not notice that he had spelled it wrong until he corrected it.
I think Oswin is sacrificing children to a volcano god, and that volcano god is moving and releasing clouds of carbon dioxide that is killing off the trees and the lakes and acidifying them. And I think that is what's happening, and I'm going to stick with that, even though I just came up with it in the past minute and a half.
No, I don't be doing that kind of thing. I feel like I wouldn't think that she would do that again. She already did it with Ben, and I feel like she wanted a parallel of like, see, Ben was bad, but this is what he could have done if he would have used what he learned for good.
Like Oswin,
he is tired of dealing with people's shit and wants to sink all the islands.
He's tired of those kids breaking his furniture.
That and like negotiating between people and fixing stuff he's tired of it. He's like, you know what? Why don't I just make the whole island disappear?
But maybe it's like he's feeding kids to the volcano god to keep the island from disappearing.
Everyone keeps saying how great he is, and he was like, no, I'm not. He was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. And he only does it with the kids who are being bad. Like, that's how he picks, because he says, you know, that if the one kid was doing stuff again, he was going to kick him out, and that's what he's going to do. He's been breaking furniture, so he's going to go sacrifice him to the volcano.
He says he's kicking him out, and no one
out into the fucking volcano.
Why haven't we seen him? Well, I kicked him out. He's probably, he went to a different town or something. Not really. He's dead.
Goodwin's going to the conspiracy board, literally.
I genuinely love that Goodwin is currently writing on a whiteboard.
Yes.
Because
now we just need some red string.
Yeah.
We can't read it, but tell us what it says, Goodwin.
God, kids, volcano. Volcano sacrifice children leads into Luvo, maybe being the ultimate sacrifice for the volcano.
We did say in chat.
We talked about a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And it could kill Luvo, and maybe Luvo can make it double explode. And he's tired of helping, so he's trying to blow up the island.
He is very interested in Luvo. So,
Molly.
Maybe you're onto something.
Molly.
But she's not doing the eyebrow wiggle.
She's not doing the eyebrow wiggle.
So that means you're up.
That means I'm right. I'm on to something. Molly, I am genuinely freaked out right now.
Take a picture of it so we can put it on the Instagram.
And Luvo can walk, apparently. We have not seen it, but Evie asks him if he would like to be carried to dinner or if he would like to walk. Luvo can walk.
I imagine it's just not very little legs.
Yeah, I imagine he's got stubby little legs and he doesn't walk very quickly. Also, she's like, I know you don't like stairs, and I think that if I was shaped like Luvo, I also wouldn't like stairs.
Yeah, no, he's a rock. He can't bend legs or anything.
I imagine him just like trying to climb down, and it's just very undignified for the heart of a mountain.
Isn't there a scene somewhere in like Pooh Bear, like Winnie the Pooh, like Pooh Bear falling down some stairs? I had that visual in my head. They're saying, oh, Luvo, you don't like stairs. I'm like, oh, just this gummy bear thing falling down the stairs. Like,
he falls down the stairs, and then he goes, oh, bother.
Oh, bother, everyone.
Yes. him not liking stairs, it has happened several times, him falling down the stairs, for him to know that he doesn't like stairs.
Poor Luvo.
He has fallen down some stairs, I'm sure.
Probably has. Yes. But Giant, I love you. I appreciate that you're trying to do something nice. Let Evie handle it. It's right? Okay.
It's okay. Like, no, but I already offered, so I gotta do it.
Right, right. No, you don't have to. That's absolutely. Why she's like, I am the Stone Mage.
Absolutely relatable, though.
I'm not being very hospitable if I back out on the things that I say that I'm going to
do.
Right. 100% relatable.
And then I like that she says, Briar knows to leave stone things to me. And to me, that seems kind of like a hint.
Yeah. And then right afterwards, like, that's what I liked about him. That's what I don't like about you.
I don't get the impression that Evie dislikes Giant for doing this,
but
it does feel like a hit. Like, you know, maybe you should just let me carry Luvo.
It's okay. Yeah.
You don't have to do everything.
I didn't take it as her disliking Giant either, but I just found it really funny that the next sentence was like, that's what I liked about him. Like, okay. All right.
I really like Azazé. I feel like she's maybe being a little too hard on Giant and Osmond in this scene. How have you not brought her to dinner yet? It's okay. It's okay. We're getting there. Like, we're fine.
I don't know. I kind of see it from her side. Like, these people just got here and you're just gawking at them. Like, oh my God, you have a talking rock? That is so cool. Like, dude, I'm tired. Leave me the hell alone. You can gawk at my rock later.
She's also pretty taken by the rock, though.
But I don't know.
I think she's used to dealing with other people on the island that are worse than those two. So she's using probably. That tone on them, even though, you know, maybe they don't deserve it.
I also feel like Oswin's like, oh, it's my fault because I wanted to talk to Luvo and all this. But for half of this scene, at least, Evie's also been, like, washing up.
Yeah.
But I do like that Evie watches how she takes care of Rosethorn, how Azazé takes care of Rosethorn. And I feel like if Azazé is that stern with Giant and Oswin, then there's a good chance that she's going to take care of Rosethorn.
Yeah.
You need to be made of stern stuff if you're going to be living on what used to be a pirate-like infested island, too.
Yeah, and she is the head woman. So she's in charge of everything. Which also occurs to be, like, more cool, strong ladies.
She reminded me a little bit of Lernicle Potcracker.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, not that she directly reminds me of Moonstream. I think, like, her personality is very similar to Potcracker, but she's in a similar, like, position as Moonstream.
Yeah. I would see Moonstream as queenly as well. So,
yeah. And the last note I have is, Brittany mentioned in an earlier chapter that Evie was concerned about her looks. And in this chapter, she's like trying to pinch her nose to make it
make it not be flat.
Which reminds me of Amy from Little Women, who's always drawing noses because she hates hers.
But as a wise mortal who knows his limits, really like that.
Some of the mortals in some of the other books have not realized their limits and have perished because of it.
Yes. And the only other one of mine that was not taken, because I have one left, is the earth can be as restless in its sleep as you.
Ugh.
Bad times are coming.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a Connecticut. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme that I found was read the room. When Evie and Jayet are discussing how bad people can be, if someone just kind of comes out of nowhere and says, like, yeah, people are really fucking, like, horrible, I feel like there's probably a really good reason why they say that. Something's got to be there. Not to say that I've never done that. So I've been spending a lot of time at an oncology clinic recently. Not for me, but for someone else. But I remember I went down to get some food, and on the way up the elevator, I ran into this couple in the elevator, and I was being kind of polite and being like, "Hey, how are you? Like, when like, how are you doing?" And you know, maybe not the best question to ask when you're at an oncology clinic, because you don't always get good news there. Sometimes you do, but it was very much a case of like. Like, they didn't get mad, and they weren't, like, super bummed out, but you can tell it wasn't good. So, maybe I should have read the room. Clearly, that might not be a good question to ask at the location you're at.
Yeah.
And again, with Jayet and Oswin keeping Evie from dining, like, not on purpose, but also, like, you know, come on. She's been traveling all day. Maybe let Evie do her thing and then take her to go eat.
Ask your questions while she's eating.
The third one I noticed was when the two men approach the table with Rosethorn, Azazel just kind of glares at them. And it's like they got the cue that maybe that wasn't the right time to start a conversation about whatever they had in mind. Because it does seem like they were the maybe locals that were affected, and they're like, oh, hey, you from the temple. This is what happened to me, and I need you to help me right now, because, you know, she literally just got there. Give them a second to settle in and then start talking about it. But yeah, that's what I found. Read the room.
Everett Hospitality, they're welcoming people, so they're feeding them and they're bringing them in. That, like, I don't know, because of the book that I'm writing, I think a lot about how you can be a hospitable guest as well as a hospitable host. And I feel like that's something that, like, Evie and Lugo are doing. But then also, like, Jayet is kind of being overly hospitable, offering to carry Lugo, and then not figuring out that, like, it's okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot about, like, what it means to be hospitable and where you draw those lines. And I think we can learn a few things from this, both about, like, taking care of people, like, making sure that people aren't harassing Rosethorn when she's just gotten here, and taking people to eat and that. But also, like, as a guest, taking care of people by being like, it's okay, I can carry my own part of the mountain.
Yes. Well, I guess mine was basically the same thing as Molly's, hospitality. So they're getting treated to a meal. I feel like even though Jayet and Oswin are keeping Evie from going to eat, I feel like them getting to know her more is being hospitable in a different way. So
I agree.
it may not be the way that the head woman wants, but I think that they're being hospitable in their own way.
So in a rare turn of events, I couldn't really find one.
Been there.
Same. I'm used to being good with doing that, not you.
Like I said, in a rare turn of events.
I mean, fair. Step three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
Mine is to always keep learning. You never know what information could be useful for you in the future. Not just for yourself, but for other people. Oswin does this constantly, learning from other mages. He's not a mage himself, but he uses that information to be able to help those around him. So I want to be like Oswin and keep learning everything that I can.
Mine is kind of in the same vein, also talking about Oswin, but it's to use your connections. Oswin seems to know a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, just like some parts engineering, some parts like social, like not deduction, but like social, just figuring out what people can help each other and connecting them.
Yeah, if he doesn't know something, then he's able to point you in the right direction, be like, oh no, but that guy over there does, and I know that he needs this and you could do that, so help each other.
Yeah, like making that sort of social connection is like kind of huge. The sense of community nowadays compared to what it was like pre-1980s, when whole neighborhoods would know each other and hang out, let your kids play on the street and stuff. We don't have that anymore. You know, not having those connections, it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you need a roof, do you know a roof guy? If you don't, it's hard to even know where to start. With my job as a realtor, I do that. I know people that do certain things well, and I connect them to the people that need that help. I wish it could be more trade-based. It's happened a couple of times between like a client of mine that does like landscaping and another one that does framing. I connect them and they can occasionally just like trade job for job instead of for cash.
That's awesome.
Which is, yeah, super cool when it happens. And I wish we could do that more.
Yeah.
But kind of the whole thing with like not having those connections anymore kind of precludes that. But I love being able to do that, helping people help each other and making those connections. It's huge to me because I help people do that and it feels really good.
Mine is, it's a wise mortal who knows his limits. The story that I can connect this to off the bat is I went to a national poetry slam in like 2014. I was talking to somebody about, like, I knew I wasn't going to win or whatever. And they were like, don't be a negative Nelly. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just being realistic. I know who I'm competing against and I know I'm not as good as them. And that's okay because I can still like try and do my personal best. I guess that's kind of the positive side of this. Like, I think sometimes when you know things that like, oh, I can't do that, people will look at that as like you being negative. But there's also like a knowing your limits can help you do your personal best, or like, no, like this is what I can expect of myself, allow you to push yourself to improve without trying to push yourself beyond what you can do.
That definitely feels like a realist kind of thing to do, to like tamper your expectations. Like, you can't just expect to show up, beat everyone immediately, you know, like,
right?
It just doesn't work like that.
It's okay to not be the best at something, and it's okay to not be particularly good at a specific thing. And it's important to be aware of like what you can do, what you can do well. It's good to like try and improve that. And it's like, oh, I want to get better at this. But it's okay to not be great at it. It's okay to not be the best at something and to just want to do your own personal best. Or even to go, yeah, I'm not great at that. And I don't really feel like getting better at it. Like, I'm not particularly athletic and I suck at basically all sports. And I'm okay with that. I don't need to be good at them.
I don't know. I love that example because you saying that you went to the poetry thing. No, I'm not amazing or I'm not as great as all these people. But hey, you're there. That speaks enough for itself, I think.
Yeah, like, trying is enough.
And just getting to the experience of being there, I think that's enough too. Even if you're not great, you're still there. You're getting to experience all of that, which is awesome.
Would you say that a man needs to have flaws? Would you say that you need to be more like Frostbite?
Yes. I need flaws to accentuate all of the other things about me that are amazing.
Yep. Imagine flaws.
So true.
So mine is kind of related. It's Briar knows to leave stone things to me. You're not going to be good at everything. You're just not. That's life. That's part of being a human being. You're the main character of your own story, but not everyone else's. No one is a side or background character for your story. People are allowed to be good at things that you are not good at. You want to leave it to them. You don't have to do everything. That is a phrase that I do need to take to heart. You don't have to do everything. Sometimes it's okay to let other people do things.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 5 of Melting Stones. I felt watched and looked up. Faces in the upstairs windows of the house, boy and girl, watched us. They were all colors, black, white, brown, and mixes like Miriam. These would be the pirate kids Oswin had taken in, the ones left over after the adults had been killed. They looked like street kids I had known in the old days, before Briar had found me. They had that wary expression, the same as feral cats. Dedicates Rosthorn and Murtide need to see the pond, Jory, Jayet said. We don't need to wake Oswin to do it. Nori scowled at all of us. There are plenty of dead spots all around here. Why don't you go poke your noses into them? Because we're here. We won't be any trouble. Jayet was almost pleading with Nori. I wonder how long he'd been sweet on her. Quietly, he said, come on, you'll wake Oswin before we do with your growling. The older girl took Miriam inside the house. Jayet looked at us and shrugged. Oswin says she's getting softer looking after the kids. You just have to know her, I guess. This way. He led us around the house, down a rock-lined path into the trees. I drew up even with Jayet. I don't get it. Why are you showing us around if you and your master are the only mages for the whole area? Won't you be needed someplace sooner or later? Couldn't someone else play guide for us if Oswin isn't available? Jayet shook his head, making his curls bounce. It isn't just that the plants and water are getting poisoned. He looked older this morning. Maybe he just didn't like what he was saying or thinking. Too many of the dead patches are in places where this island's lines of power lie. He pointed to a rough granite post beside the path. It was as tall as my hip. Carved in the top of it was the earth symbol, the circle that enclosed a cross. I had seen them the day before, but had been too busy looking for new rocks to care. I studied the post. It's tilted, and there's a crack in the middle of the granite. A bad shock and it will split right down the middle. You haven't been taking care of it. Jayet scowled at me. Then we'll replace it. We have one of those every 10 yards to mark where the lines of Earth's power are hereabouts. Are they all stone? At least this was something I could take an interest in. Are they all granite? How would I know? Jayet seemed grumpy. They're just rocks that tell us where we may draw on the force of the earth to give us strength for our spells. That's how lesser mages like Tahar and me can be of use to our kindred. I felt for the line of power that was supposed to be under the cracked granite post. I didn't see anything. I let my magic sink through the stones beneath it. There was some power in them that fizzed, but nothing big. There had been strength beyond the normal in those dull bits of stone. The quartz there clinked with an echo of it, but it was just an echo. I let my magic run deeper and deeper. I sensed a hum way down. It reminded me of how my own magic had once felt. It called to me. It was like a kid wanting me to come and play. I kept reaching out, trying to grab that fizzing sense of being alive. Then I fell off my horse.
the kid without saying, hey, not a baby goat.
Oh, this one was ghost written.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Can't believe I finally cracked the code on this one.
Four chapters in, we already know the ending.
That's what happened in Cold Fire, to be fair.
That's true.
It was like chapter 3 or 4, I think, where Brittany was like, nope, I don't like him. I don't like him.
Something's off.
And then magic steps, like, oh, what are they going to do? Put some track salt in the middle of it? That sounds too dumb.
And that was exactly what they did. I'm pretty sure I lost my shit when you guys were like, Snap Trap? What a stupid name.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.